Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 29, the stanzas 1 and 3. To thee, O Lord, I fly, and on thy help depend. Thou art my Lord and King most high. Do thou my soul defend. And what follows? Psalter 29, the stanzas 1 and 3. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, that can be found in Romans 6. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. And know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are ye, servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, the psalmist of old has declared that thou art to be greatly feared in the assembly of the saints, and that thou art had to be in reverence all those round about thee. To that end, when by renewal on this day we attempt with our unclean lips to draw nigh unto thee, where thou art Lord of lords and King of kings, wilt thou fill us with that awe, with that reverence, an impression of our need, of our dependency, and that thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Then on the evening hour of another Lord's Day, then how proper and fitting the request which we have heard read in this morning. 'Tis toward the evening, abide with us. It is toward the evening, the day is far spent. Then those two travelers, they have constrained thee, and thou hast abode with them. Lord, thou art an everywhere present God. Bind also that truth upon all of our hearts. Thou wast promised in thy word, thy special presence, when two or three are gathered in thy name. And, Lord, thou as a people, may there have come up travelers to Emmaus in this evening with their questions, with their riddles, and with their sin. Those are souls that have such a desire to experience a visit, an embrace, an instruction. And then we read in thy word, when thy dear son has expounded Open thy word concerning himself, also concerning his suffering and death, and that he must be glorified, that those travelers were given to tell one another that their hearts have begun to burn. And so in this evening, then we are called upon to speak of thy death, thy burial, and the descending into hell, ah Lord, where there is no need. Ah, may it please thee in this evening, may there be an arrow prepared, arrows that are ready to be shot by the instrumentality of the word into the heart of the king's enemies, that they may be given to bow, that they may become true seekers. But, ah, Lord, for those travelers to Emmaus, that the scriptures may be opened, grant that faith to see, to embrace, to believe, and that there may be those hearts that may begin to burn, ah, Lord. May there have come up souls in this evening where there was some constraining, some begging, oh, with the looking unto thee with those holy desires for a special blessing. Ah, thou hast a people upon the earth that learns that it all must come from above. Oh, thou art the God of all grace. Thou art the Alpha and the Omega, chosen a people that has been purchased, and thou sendest thy Spirit to gather thy church, to instruct, to lead, to encourage, to comfort. Wilt thou do it in this evening, our Lord? Do bless the means of grace in the midst of the church, in the family circles. Wilt thou remember husbands and fathers as head of their wife and of the family circle? May that responsibility weigh heavy upon them, and who together with the mothers are called upon to instruct the children in the aforesaid doctrine, accompanied with a godly example and with much prayer, public and private. Do bless thy holy word in our Christian school. Continue to grant traveling mercies. Remember all those that may labor therein. Lord, the labors are manifold. May it please thee to grant more servants for thy vineyard, also teachers for our Christian schools. May it be bound especially upon the hearts of young men who have a love for the old truth and for the old ways. Lord, we have been privileged above most of the people upon the face of the earth. The persecuted church, so many could not gather. Many have gathered with fear and trembling. Many had to stay in their homes. Many in prison, tortured for the testimony of Christ Jesus. Wilt thou uphold, remember them with their families. The Jewish people with such a veil upon them. We commend unto thee all mission work, also our mission field. Wilt thou remember thy servants, the team, and the family circle that hopes to be sent out in due time. But wilt thou remember the established churches, and thou shalt remember thy church because thou hast promised to never forsake her. But, O Lord, then history records that many places the candlestick of thy word has been removed. O, wilt thou graciously remember us and our children, and that that candlestick may be given to burn brighter and brighter. Lord, remember the manifold needs. We commend unto thee widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought dear ones to the grave. Wilt thou continue to uphold, strengthen them. May another morning out of that morning be born, a mourning over their sins, and a seeking after thee. We commend unto thee all our elderly ones, those in the care home, with those that may care for them, those that may still go in and out. Wilt thou continue to be mindful of those that are under the physician's care? Wilt thou grant healing and strengthening? Thou knowest where it is needed. Wilt thou grant courage? Grant a place at thy footstool. We remember the handicapped ones, the burdens, the crosses, the secret crosses, difficulties of the mind. We commend unto thee all the family circles. May love abound more and more between husbands and wives, between parents and children. With thy holy word authority, what has been separated, bring it together. Remember prodigal sons and daughters, Lord. By renewal, we commend unto thee the confession of faith class. Oh, do grant unto them all uprightness and sincerity impressed upon their mind and with their walk, the old truth and the old ways, but above all by thy grace to be given to experience that old truth. Then we shall love that truth. Then we shall strive for that truth. Be willing to sacrifice for that truth. Lord, grant them a special place at thy footstool. Also concerning the coming Lord's Day, may they be remembered at the throne of grace. We commend unto thee our country. Remember the leaders federally, provincially, and also in this province where elections have been planned. May it be carried upon the wings of prayer. May it please thee to yet remember us in mercy, and that also in the midst of the churches, because it is written, the time has come that judgment must begin in the house of God. O grant unto us and our children a turning from our evil and worldly ways. May we be found to be more a praying and a begging people, Lord, in this evening by renewal. Then we humbly ask thee for thy help, for some words to speak. May thy word go forth with power divine. Oh, do go then from bench to bench, from heart to heart. All those that are lawfully hindered, go from dwelling to dwelling. Wilt thou remove everything that could be a hindrance? Wilt thou bind the devil fast, and that it may be experienced in special ways that thou knowest of us? Ah, Lord, do then a great work in the latter days of the earth. Thou hast promised to work from generation to generation, and that they shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure. O wilt thou so be mindful of us, deal not according to our many sins and our unthankfulness. Pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 47, the stanzas 1, 6, 7, 8, and 9. My God, I cry to thee. O, why hast thou forsaken me? Afar from me, thou dost not heed. Though day and night for help I plead. And what follows, Psalter 47, the stanzas 1, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Thank you. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 16, the question and answers 40 through 44. Question 40, why was it necessary for Christ to humble himself even unto death? Answer, because with respect to the justice and truth of God, a satisfaction for our sins could be made no otherwise than by the death of the Son of God. Question 41, why was he also buried? Answer, thereby to prove that he was really dead. Question 42, since then Christ died for us, why must we also die? Answer, our death is not a satisfaction for our sins, but only an abolishing of sin and a passage into eternal life. Question 43, what further benefit do we receive from the sacrifice and death of Christ on the cross? Answer, that by virtue thereof, our old man is crucified, dead and buried with him, that so the corrupt inclinations of the flesh may no more reign in us, but that we may offer ourselves unto him a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Question 44, why is there added, he descended into hell? Answer, that in my greatest temptations, I may be assured and wholly comfort myself in this, that my Lord Jesus Christ, by his inexpressible anguish, pains, tears, and hellish agonies in which he was plunged during all his sufferings, but especially on the cross, had delivered me from the anguish and torments of hell. Lord's Day number 16 speaks of Christ's death as surety for his church with four thoughts. First, a required death. Secondly, a confirmed death. Thirdly, a beneficial death. And fourthly, an agonizing death. Christ's death as surety for his church. A required death, number 40. A confirmed death, number 41. A beneficial death, number 42 and 43. And fourth, an agonizing death as we find it in number 44. Thus first, a required death. Beloved congregation, in this evening hour, we are called to consider Christ's humiliation, his third, fourth, and fifth step. It speaks of Christ's death as Surety Forest Church. Then our boys and girls shall ask, what does that word mean? And that is one that takes legal responsibility for an other. And then our children shall say, those are even bigger words. We have the example of a surety with Judah. When Joseph has required that Benjamin would come down with the brothers to Egypt to buy corn, then Judah said to his father Jacob, I will be surety for Benjamin. I shall be responsible for them, and even when necessary, to take his place. So then we could speak of a substitute. It is very clearly written in God's word, flowing out of the essence of God, his holiness, his infinite purity, that in his righteousness, that the Lord must punish all of our sins in us or by an other. And then in the scripture, we read many times of a substitute. Already in Genesis 3, there we read so clearly the way that the Lord holds by his grace in the life of his chosen people. And they were called, they were uncovered, received the promise under the consequences of sin. Adam received faith to embrace the promise that his wife would be the mother of all living. But Adam and Eve, they have still stood before the presence of the Lord with those scanty fig leaves. Are there souls that understand it? So busy to cover themselves, but to be stripped, scanty fig leaves. And then we read children of a substitute. Then animals were killed, skinned, and then Adam and Eve, they were clothed with long coats. Think of the example of Isaac. He was laid on the altar, and Abram with his knife, ready to kill him. But then an angel has come, lay not thy hand on the lad. And then they looked backward, and there was a ram. Thus that ram was placed on the altar instead as a substitute for Isaac. Think of the Passover lamb. There needed to be blood on the doorpost. When the angel of destruction came past, and now that lamb was the substitute for the people killed, the blood gathered in a basin and with hyssop put upon the door. Thus the necessity of satisfaction. In this morning, we have read together with those travelers going to Emmaus with all their questions, with their riddles, and yet a heart full of love, that when Christ has said, ought not the Christ to suffer and to enter into his glory, and beginning with Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures. And when Christ is vanished out of their sight, that they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us when he spoke of himself and he expounded the scriptures? And then it is clear that Christ, according to the scriptures, and that he has also spoken of what is spoken in Lord's Day number 16, concerning the death and the satisfaction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, oh, may that happen. Are there a few travelers traveling to Emmaus? The burden of sin. Many questions, many perplexities. No, you cannot deny what the Lord has done because he was a prophet, but at the moment can be so mysterious. May it please the Lord. That is the Spirit's work, to open our hearts, to open his word, and to grant an exercise of true saving faith, that we may embrace that special Savior with all his work. And when that takes place, congregation, oh, may it take place in this evening, that hearts indeed may begin to burn. And congregation, oh, when there is no need, because this Lord's Day is also a separating Lord's Day, is an uncovering Lord's Day, that we may examine our hearts, that it may still be proclaimed that there is a Savior so rich and so free for the chiefest of sinners. But we need, by the grace of God, to become to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. And now the question, why was it necessary for Christ to humble himself even unto death? The former Lord's Day, that is spoken of the suffering of death of Christ. And now the instructor is given to ask, was that suffering, that deep suffering of Christ, was that now sufficient? And then the answer is no. And then it is asked, why was it necessary for Christ to humble himself even unto death? And then the answer, because with respect to the justice and truth of God, then two attributes are mentioned. And of course, in the context of that eternal and unfathomable love of a triune God, because let us always remember, congregation, that the Lord was never obligated to take one step outside of himself to save poor sinners, sons and daughters of Adam. Thus this answer is in the context of unfathomable love, but never at the expense of justice. Ah, we live in a day that there are many that are just like frogs. They jump over everything. And the Lord is free, but the same teacher. And they shall teach, they shall learn, oh, the child of God. The one learns it deeper than another, but they shall all learn it in truth. What a death that they are delivered from. And therefore the instructors first, with respect to the justice of God, the Lord is so holy that he cannot overstep sin, that he must punish each of our sins. Are we ever troubled there with congregation? How is it with our sins, boys and girls? How is it with your sins? Of course, when you disobey your parents, then you need forgiveness from your parents. But do you now think, I need forgiveness of God, older ones? How is it now with that justice? have we become exercised therewith? Have we learned to love that justice? When the Lord works, then we love the Lord. And we also love his justice. Then we do not desire another God. And I have to be changed. Because I am such a sinful wretch. We read in Habakkuk 1, verse 13, that the Lord is of pure eyes to behold evil, and he cannot look on iniquity. Thus our sin must be punished with a threefold death, but also the truth of God. Because the Lord has said to our first parents in Genesis 2, the verses 16 and 17, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Not maybe, not perhaps, but surely. Hebrews 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. In Ezekiel 18, verse 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Because with respect to the justice and truth of God, declared, also prophesied, we read in Isaiah 53, verse 12, that he poured out a soul even unto death. We have the types that the sacrifices that they were lifted up on the altar, and then those sacrifices, they did not come off those animals, but they were consumed by the fire whole or in part. And therefore, the cross of Calvary, no angel has come that a sword may depart, but it has been fulfilled. Oh, what a precious word. For travelers also go into Emmaus. We read in Zechariah 13, verse 7, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. What a precious word. As a fruit upon the satisfaction of Christ, that he has taken the sins of his people upon him, that he has satisfied justice, that he has went into death, and as a fruit thereof, I will turn my hands unto the little ones. And I read that those little ones, that is in the beginning work, travelers to Emmaus, but I read in God's word of a humble, a poor and afflicted people in Zephaniah 3, verse 12, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. Our second thought, a confirmed death. That speaks of the fourth step of the state of his humiliation, his burial. Why was he also buried? And then the instructors, they give one answer. It is broader, but of course the instructors in a catechism can only write down so much. And then they have answered, thereby to prove that he was really dead. Of course, that was not the only proof. It was very clear. The seventh crossword, boys and girls, you know what that crossword is. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And then we further, for a proof, when those soldiers have come to Golgotha, and then they have seen the other two malefactors, they were still living, and then their legs were broken. Oh, what a difference. One to enter into eternal glory, to praise God for his amazing grace, save the 11th hour, not the ordinary way, and the other one's soul went into hell, where there is cursing, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. But then the soldiers, they have seen that Christ was already dead, and therefore to confirm it, they have taken a spear and pierced that holy side of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then came out blood and water, a sure sign that he was dead, and the rich blessings that they point to, justification and sanctification, then further a sure proof that not enemies have buried Christ, but friends, nigh disciples. The amazing grace of the Lord. It was not Peter, not John, nigh disciples. It was evident in their life, seeking souls. We read of Nicodemus that he did not always agree with the Sanhedrin. He has asked questions, and also Joseph of Arimathea, that he did not agree that Jesus would be put to death. But now the amazing grace of the Lord, that night disciples with zeal and with boldness, they have brought the linen, Nicodemus, 100 pounds of spices, and that they, together with the women, have taken Jesus off the cross and buried him. Thus, what a proof when friends have buried the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was truly dead. But now to further confirm it, then there was the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he had indeed died. And now the necessity that Christ has died indeed, that was necessary for the disciples. They would soon become preachers, preaching Christ crucified, but also Christ resurrected. And now concerning the blessings for the church of the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, then that burial, that death, then it was proof that death has been conquered, because in that way, the possibility for their resurrection. Secondly, that the sins of the church, that they have been buried with Christ in the grave. We have read out of Romans 6 that speaks especially of sanctification after Romans 7, after Romans 5, that speaks of justification. And then further, that the grave is sanctified for his people. 'Tis their resting place to await the great day of the resurrection. O Paul, he is written to the Corinthians, O death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? And then thanks be unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us the victory. Congregation, do we many times think of those things? We sometimes walk through the cemetery, many buried, boys and girls, not only old people, little children, young people, middle-aged, and elderly ones, and all the graves, they shall be opened. what a day that shall be. And this Lord's Day speaks of satisfaction, substitution of a Savior who has died, who was buried, who was paid the price. Has he become necessary, congregation? Has he become suitable? Has he become precious? When someone has become precious, ask a young man, a young woman, when they love one another, shall become evident their thoughts, their exercises, their outgoing, the desire that in due time that they may be joined together in holy matrimony and travel life's journey together till life do them part. Our third thought, a beneficial death. Let us first sing. Psalter 206. The stanzas 2, 3, 4, and 5. At thy righteous judgment thou hast said, shall in due time appear. And thou who didst establish it, wilt fill the earth with fear. And what follows? Psalter 206, the stanzas 2 through 5. Thank you. Christ's death as surety for his church. A required death, a confirmed death, and now thirdly, a beneficial death. And then we read in question 42, as since then Christ died for us, why must we also die? Do we believe that we shall die, congregation? Do we believe that we must and shall die? With our mind, we know it. Have we become exercised therewith? What a solemn thing that death is. When body and soul are separated, when the soul goes to its eternal destination, and the body is laid in the grave. 'Tis declared in God's word, and we see it around us. This one, that one, old and young, are ushered into eternity. Do we believe a congregation? Have we become exercised therewith? Have we become troubled because in our natural state, then we cannot die and yet must die? And now the Lord grants this precious time of grace. We are still upon praying, seeking, and finding ground. Then the Lord declares that there is a Savior for sinners. Have we now become a sinner? Black sinner. A vile sinner. A sinner that must die. A sinner that is so guilty. A sinner that has learned to cry for mercy and for grace. We read, since then Christ died for us. Who was that us? That is God's people. Separation. God's people, for whom Christ has died, paid the price, satisfied justice, sent out the Spirit, those heavenly graces. They have been wrought upon. They have been uncovered. They have been taught. And necessary to come to a saving knowledge of the Son of God. All those travelers to Emmaus, when they heard of the precious mediatorial work of Christ Jesus, that he was the Passover lamb without blemish that has offered himself so freely, then their hearts have begun to burn. But now the question is, when Christ now has been their substitute, and where he has paid the price, he has underwent a threefold death, then why must God's people also die? And then the answer, our death is not a satisfaction for our sins. the unconverted, then their death, that is the punishment. And then their soul shall be sent to hell. But for God's people, the price has been perfectly paid. Christ has cried out, it is finished. And therefore, the instructors have so clearly stated, and that is also for examination, and that is for the encouragement of the true child of God. Because the true child of God, they examine themselves oftentimes. We have the parable, five wise and five foolish virgins. Matthew 22, of the supper with one without a wedding garment. And now in this answer, then there are marks that we can examine our hearts, how it is, traveling to that never-ending and all-decisive eternity. And then there are two marks, and that is the desire of the true child of God. That is the life and the desire of those travelers going to Emmaus. Then the instructors do not say, and I do not say, that it is never present in the life of God's people and in office bearers, that they become so discouraged and so downcast when people do not hearken, do not listen, and do not repent, that it can even come so low as in Elijah under the juniper tree, Lord, take me away, not better than my fathers. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath heard our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Can also be on account of suffering, on account of pain. Also for the true child of God, a desire to be delivered from the consequences of sin. But that our instructors do not mention. They mention two special matters. And the Lord has a people upon the earth that are exercised with those two matters. Thus the death of God's people is not satisfaction. They have to add to the price that has been paid. There's not punishment, but in the first place, an abolishing of sin. What a mark to examine our hearts. How do we live with our sin? You know, honest congregation, the instructors, they lay it close to our hearts. For the true child of God, when they have written of the abolishing of sin, that implies for such a one that sin has become exceedingly sinful, that they have tasted of the bitterness of sin, where sin grieves a good doing and a just God. Has that become our burden? Not only be to delivered from the punishment, but also from sin itself. Oh, people of God, what that shall be. To be delivered from self, from sin, from the world and from the devil. That's the first point. How is it now concerning that first point? Has sin become our greatest burden and our greatest grief? Blessed are they that mourn, because sin causes separation. When there is separation in family, even when one travels for a certain time, then what tears are sometimes shed, still a blessing. When there is such love and tears, when there may be a rejoining. And the second, and a passage into eternal life. That is the portion of the child of God. And what is now eternal life? That is where the church most perfectly, with all their heart, may be given to sing the praises of the Lord through Him alone, because of Thy sovereign good pleasure. Young and old, concerning those two points, of course, if I ask you, do you want to go to heaven? Then our boys and girls would say yes. Because otherwise they have to go to hell. But has it now become your desire, your longing? Exercised, hallowed be thy name. Oh, the church may have a beginning. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, and they are in their element. When there may be that soft heart in the way of providence and in the way of grace, then they fall so short. Then they desire to have a tongue of an angel to praise the Lord most perfectly. Thus two special marks of the people of God. And now in question 43, a further mark of the true people of God. What further benefit do we receive from the sacrifice and death of Christ on the cross? And when we read of a further benefit, then it refers to question 40. Concerning that satisfaction, this question 40, that speaks of the justification of the sinner. And Reverend Hellenbrook, our young people know it. Justification, to be acquitted of our guilt and to receive a right to eternal life. And now the further benefit that the instructors are given to speak of, that is sanctification, and that is to be holy. They must be distinguished, but they can never be separated, because the true child of God, they do not only need Christ as priest, but they also desire him to be their king. Because they have become servants and handmaidens. And now we read concerning the benefits of the sacrifice of death of Christ on the cross, that by virtue thereof, our old man is crucified, dead and buried with him. We have read thereof. Out of Romans 6. And now crucifixion, we have heard it. And that is a shameful, that is a painful, but also a sure death. And to that end, by the grace of God, by the work of the Spirit, And then we need to be arrested many times. If we think of the disciples, it was one of the inner circle. And many times by our bosom sin, that we are betrayed, that we are arrested, and that we are placed before the court of God's pure justice. And now it is necessary in that crucifixion, that is a slow death many times. They have hung on the cross for several days. And now the crucifixion of that old man, that is all our life long. The instructors in Lord's Day number 33, they speak of the mortification of the old man. And to that end, many exhortations in the scriptures concerning that mortification. We shall read 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 1, how ye ought to walk and to please God, as so ye would abound more and more. And in verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And thus that speaks of a holy warfare. And I hope that we all have a warfare. We live in a world that entices by its smiles, tries to make us afraid by their frowns. And there is so much that deceives and deludes. And then I hope that we all have a certain warfare. Maybe those that are struggling with special temptations and addictions, that you have prayed so often, maybe made promises, maybe in this evening, that you are sitting in God's house as a hypocrite. What takes place during the week? Still a privilege when we are not given over. Still have a speaking conscience. But we must make a separation between a speaking conscience. Does not mean in the life of God's people there is not a speaking conscience. But what we read, this benefit, that is that strife wrought by the Holy Spirit, and it worketh not only by fear, but it worketh by love for God, His attributes, His law, His word, but also as a fruit when the church, as we have mentioned in this morning, Zechariah 12 verse 10, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. Ah, when the church may look upon their beloved Savior crucified, what it has cost them, then they are truly given to see the awfulness and the bitterness of sin. Fourthly, an agonizing death. Why is there added, he descended into hell? This article was not included in the beginning, has been added later, as it was with different articles. And in the time of the Reformation, then they have also spoken about this article. And therefore it must be clearly explained. Because if now when someone in this evening came to church that did not know the truth, and they have listened, and we must be honest, do we always listen when the 12 articles are read? But if there was now a stranger that would hear it for the first time, then it would give the impression that Christ has died, he was buried, and then he descended into hell. Different explanations have been given. The Westminster Larger Catechism, when they speak of the descending of hell, they have simply stated that Christ has remained under the power of death while he remained in the grave. But Calvin and others, also our instructors, then they have correctly stated the 12 articles, very short, very, very concise. Then there would not be two articles that speak of the same matter. Thus, when we read descending into hell, that concerns the intensity of the suffering of Christ. And then the instructors have correctly stated that in my first, the benefit, the blessings that flow from it, and then they have described it so by his inexpressible anguish, pains, tears, and hellish agonies in which he was plunged during all his sufferings. What profound words. Who can describe what hell really is? Do you try to think about it, congregation, not to scare you, but that you may be given to seek the Lord while he may be found, and seek to be saved through that precious mediator. But what solemn words, by his inexpressible anguish, pains, tears, and hellish agonies in which he was plunged during all his sufferings, but especially on the cross. Reverend Hellenbrook, when he speaks of the descending into hell, then he mentions especially Gethsemane and Golgotha. Had delivered me from the anguish and torments of hell. But then the instructors have spoken of another matter, that in my greatest temptations, they did not speak of trials, but my greatest temptations, those are the assaults that the church is given to experience out of the bottom of hell. Think of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12. He received a thorn in the flesh. He was buffeted by Satan. Can be times that the devil even fills the minds of his people with terrible blasphemies. How they can be troubled with the piercing question from the devil, that we are not chosen. We have sinned too much. Even committed the sin against the Holy Ghost. There's no use. You are a reprobate. You are lost. But the instructors are given to declare that in my greatest temptations, I may be assured and wholly comfort myself on this, that my Lord Jesus Christ, and so follows the answer, the blessings for the church. Christ, to the travelers of Emmaus, Ought not Christ to suffer and to enter into glory? And then he has expounded the scriptures. To those travelers to Emmaus, they have listened as they have never listened before. They have heard matters explained that they did not understand. They were given to behold the Lamb of God. It is true. Later in the evening, we read in Luke 24, verse 45, that he further opened their understanding, that they understood the scriptures. But then we read, oh, people of God, when we read this Lord's Day, are there not reasons that the heart should be encouraged, that it should be enlivened, and that our hearts may begin to burn? Oh, the love, the deep, the unfathomable love of a triune God, that a sinner is saved. And then it becomes the desire of the church, man abased to the lowest, God exalted to the highest. And to that end, Paul has written to the Galatians in Galatians 6, verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's Day. A few words to speak. Wilt thou forgive everything that was amiss and sinful in speaking and in listening? And we now humbly ask thee, may we not leave everything in thy house. May we return to our homes, meditations, examination, and a place at thy footstool, where we may tell thee all, O Lord, we have heard of what is necessary, that there is a satisfaction for sin. Pour out thy Spirit richly upon us. So we commend each and every one unto thee. Remember the mothers in the home with the children, also during the night watches. Wilt thou remember at school the older students studying in higher institutions of learning? Wilt thou keep be a fiery wall round about them? Wilt thou bless all our labors? Wilt thou also remember on the way? Wilt thou remember the brothers of the consistory who hope to visit the families who have settled in Saskatchewan? Wilt thou grant thy help, thy blessing? Thou knowest the purpose, may it be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Wilt thou keep us from harm and danger? Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation? Then we commend unto thee the young couple whose names have been mentioned in this morning, who soon hope to be united in holy matrimony. They are announced also that in a special way they may be carried upon the wings of prayer. Wilt thou grant them both a place at thy footstool, earnestly begging of thee a marriage for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Wilt thou so watch over us in this evening, bring us safely to our destinations. Wilt thou be the faithful keeper Israel, that slumbers and sleepeth not, also during the night watches, and that in the morning we may awake somewhat refreshed for body and mind, with a desire and courage for our labors, with a profound impression of our dependency upon thee. Wilt thou now dismiss us in thy favor, pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 325, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Teach me, O Lord, the way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart. 325, 1, 2, and 4. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.